The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn together to the Word of God in Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 19 is the sermon text this morning. I'll read it again. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. When the Bible talks about our Christian life, beloved, it emphasizes especially two things. It emphasizes the fact that our Christian life is a journey. For many of us, a very long journey of 70 or 80, even 90 years. And it emphasizes the fact that that journey that we call life is the most difficult journey anyone will ever make. And both of those things are here in Hebrews 6, verse 19. Our life there, probably realized that as we were reading the passage, our life is pictured as a voyage. Not a voyage in a modern ocean liner, but a voyage in the kind of ship that the Apostle Paul sailed in when he was taken as a captive to Rome. Voyage that is not only very long, but also very difficult. And that's emphasized in the passage by the reference to an anchor. We cannot make that voyage, no more than any ship can make its voyage, without an anchor. An anchor for the soul, an anchor which enters into that within the veil. And that's the subject this morning, that anchor for the soul. We're going to talk about that anchor first of all because it is in many ways a very unusual, even strange anchor, although I would emphasize the fact that it is as real, even more real, than any earthly anchor. And then we're going to look at our need for that anchor. That's certainly implied in the passage when it says, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Our souls, without that anchor of which the Word of God speaks, are very much like a ship blown, as Paul's was, across the sea and destroyed by the storms of life. And finally, we're going to look at our calling with respect to that anchor. Verse 18 especially, although I didn't mention that as part of our text, verse 18 talks about laying hold of that anchor. And that is what we must do. So we'll talk first about that anchor. Mentioned already the fact that though it's a spiritual anchor, an anchor for the soul, it is nevertheless real and does everything that an anchor ought to do. Does for our souls what an anchor does for a ship. Keeps that ship, use the word of the passage, steadfast when storms rise on the sea. Make sure that that ship isn't blown far off course. Does that for our souls. You remember what happened to the Apostle Paul on his journey to Rome. For 7 days, they were blown off course until nobody even knew anymore where they were. And so it is with our souls. But it's an anchor, too, that is different from other anchors in that it's sure, never breaks, never lets go, never fails us, as, of course, the anchor of a ship can, in some circumstances, do. This anchor always holds. holds. But what's most remarkable about this anchor is, first of all, the fact that this anchor doesn't go down to the bottom of the sea, but goes up to heaven. Very unusual anchor. And not only goes up to heaven, but if you think about it, you'll see that too. It reaches all the way to our destination in reaching to heaven. Can't even imagine that in everyday terms. That would be like a ship sailing maybe from Rotterdam to New York, already having its anchor all the way in New York, anchored to its destination. That's the picture that we have here in the Word of God. We, with this anchor, are already anchored to our destination in heaven. No other anchor like that. And not only are we anchored to that destination, it's the third thing that's very unusual about this anchor, but it's that anchor that draws the ship to its destination. We reach our destination not by drawing up our anchor, as ships ordinarily do, but we reach our destination because that anchor, which is already anchored there, pulls the ship all the way across that stormy sea of life to its final destination. Beautiful picture, isn't it? That's the picture that you have here in the passage. And that anchor is hope. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. And if you know what hope is, then you'll understand too why it's described that way here in the Word of God. Because hope, Bible is always different. Different even in its use of human things, human language, human pictures. Hope in the Bible is not like hope in our everyday life. It's not a kind of happy optimism. Things aren't going very well, but I hope, even expect, that they'll get better. That's not at all what the Bible is talking about when it talks about hope. But it's talking about something that's really the same as assurance. In fact, the only difference really between hope and assurance is that hope has in it too that longing that we feel in our hearts for God, for heaven, for Christ, for the things of God. That's the only way in which hope differs from assurance, but otherwise it's the same thing. And when you think of hope that way, then you know why it's described here as an anchor, sure and steadfast. There's no doubt in hope. Hope doesn't say maybe, but hope, when it hears the Word of God, reads the Word of God, says with absolute conviction, yes, yes, that's the way it is. And there is No doubt about it. That's hope. And that's why it's described in the passage as an anchor, sure and steadfast. Hope doesn't let go. Hope doesn't fail. Hope isn't in vain. Like casting an anchor out of a ship and finding that there's nothing for that anchor to hold on to. That's hope. And hope is that kind of assurance because of its close connection with Christ and with His work. If I may put it that way, Christ came to make sure that we had that anchor. And that anchor was forged in all of the suffering of Christ and tempered as anything made of metal ought to be tempered. Tempered by the resurrection of Christ, proved strong and steadfast in the resurrection. And then, through the ascension of Christ, carried into heaven and into the presence of God. It enters, the passage says, into those things that are beyond the veil. And there, it's Christ Himself, by His presence, by His intercession, by His work as our heavenly high priest, who makes sure that that anchor never lets go. It's not, of course, that we somehow take that anchor and throw it up to heaven. Who's capable of doing that? Christ brings it there. And that anchor isn't sure and steadfast because I have hold of it. But that anchor is sure and steadfast because, on the one end, Christ has hold of it. And God Himself in Christ. And on the other end, that anchor is riveted to my soul by the work of Christ's Spirit in regeneration and conversion and sanctification, so that it is forever, as the passage has it, sure and steadfast. Never broken, and always there to keep me in the right way as I make that voyage to my eternal destination in heaven. That's the picture that you have here in the Word of God, and that's why hope is an anchor. But it's an anchor for the soul. And that's especially appropriate, and it's especially appropriate because our souls have to do with our emotions, our feelings, happy, sad, discouraged, encouraged, afraid, straw. It all has to do with my soul. When I'm feeling like David in Psalm 42, and he uses the figure of a stormy sea there too. My soul seems all at sea. Then I'm experiencing what the Word of God is getting at when it says that hope is an anchor for the soul. With mighty voice, David says, deep calls to deep, while raging storms thy judgments tell. The angry billows o'er me leap, the waves of sorrow near me swell. That's why we need an anchor for the soul. And need that anchor too, of course. First of all, because it is in our souls that we experience the grief, the sorrow, the shame that sin brings. And just like those storms that David describes in Psalm 42, that could be all but overwhelming. Old sins come to mind, and I can hardly bear the thought of it. And they trouble me so that I can't sleep at night, so that my soul is restless, like a storm-tossed ship. And I think of those sins and of how great they are and how I've sinned against God Himself. And I'm all but overwhelmed by them and begin to be troubled by doubts of my own salvation and of my own place in Christ. Some of us have experienced that. And that's when we need this anchor, when our souls need this anchor. But they need it too, our souls do. They need this anchor when trials and troubles come. And as many of you know, it's not always the illness, the pain, that's the biggest part of that trial, but the fact that it goes on, and there's no relief. The fact that I have to be patient in those trials and wait for God. But in times like that, then I feel like David did. In Psalm 42, I actually read from the Psalter number 114. And I even have to do what David did. I have to talk to my soul and say, oh, why art thou cast down, my soul? And why so troubled shouldst thou be? Hope thou in God, and Him extol, who gives His saving help to me. David speaks in the psalm of his soul being bowed, of being in exile, perhaps not even physical exile, but feeling in his soul that he's far from God and far from the comforts that God alone can give. It's in such times that we need an anchor, isn't it? Talks about bitter grief, about the need for consolation and relief. Speaks in that psalm of going mourning on my way. You wake up sad, you go to bed sad. Doesn't seem to be any peace or happiness. And most of us have experienced that kind of thing. Sometimes those troubles arise within our souls. Discouraged, we're afraid, we're lonely, Sometimes they're the result of things outside of us, of our lives, that we have no control over. Enemies and persecution. David's thinking of that in Psalm 42. But whatever the reason, without this anchor, our souls are like a ship in a storm, blown off course, in danger of being destroyed, tossed by every wave. It's the way it is, isn't it? Then we have this anchor, sure and steadfast, which makes sure that the ship, really our life, isn't blown to pieces on the rocks or overwhelmed by the waves. It's the ship in which the ungodly rides always is. This is what keeps us safe. Steadfast is the word the passage uses in those storms. And the Word of God says that we have that hope. You have it. Doesn't make any difference whether the ship that is your life is sailing for the moment on calm and sunny seas, or whether that ship that's your life is storm-tossed. It looks, to you at least, like it's going to be overwhelmed by whatever's going on in your life. Described there in Psalm 42 as raging storms and billows, winds and waves. Make any difference. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul. Not by any efforts of our own. We've described already the work of our Savior in making sure that we have this anchor. It's all the result of His work as the Savior of our souls. But I think you can see, many of you may be asking that question in your own minds. Why then? In light of what the Word of God says here in Hebrews 6, verse 19, why does it sometimes seem to me otherwise? There have been times in my life when it seemed that way. Right now it seems like I'm a ship without an anchor. Seems like my soul is being blown this way and that way. Why am I so afraid? Why am I so troubled? Why does it seem that as a result of what's happening, I'm way off course? Why? What's the matter then? Am I without that hope, after all? But then, of course, I'm in no better no better place than the ungodly who have no anchor for their souls. Has that anchor given way after all? And proved itself to be otherwise than sure and steadfast? Well, the answer to those last questions certainly is, can't be that. That would make God a liar, of course, here in His Word. And we've just read in the previous verse that it's impossible for God to lie. But why? 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 And the answer lies in those words of verse 18, which speak of fleeing for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The Word of God is not saying there that that anchor, the strength of that anchor, the surety of that anchor, the fact that my soul is anchored to heaven by my hope, doesn't depend on my keeping a hand on that anchor. It is not saying that. Because that's as good as saying that I have no anchor. If after all, the strength of that anchor on the one end depends on my keeping hold of it, then what do I have? I've got nothing then. That anchor, as we've already seen, is sure and steadfast on the one end because it's anchored beyond the veil. Anchored, if you will, that's the passage too, in the promises of God who cannot lie. Those promises as they are proved true in all of the saving work of Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, the strength of that anchor doesn't depend on my hand, my ability, my strength, but on the work of the Spirit, whom I've described as riveting that anchor to our hearts by His gracious work. With rivets and chains that can never be broken. So it's not that. Nothing depends. Nothing ever depends. Nothing can depend on my ability to keep hold of that anchor. But what the Word of God is talking about in verse 18 is the fact that in the storms of life, I sometimes forget how strong that anchor is. Forget those promises of God and forget the fact that He who made those promises to me cannot lie. And sometimes lose sight of the fact that the work of grace which He has begun in us will be finished by the same grace. Become a little bit like Peter when he was walking on the water and took his eyes off Jesus and immediately began to sink. And what I have to do then, that's what verse 18 is talking about when it says, talks about fleeing for refuge to lay hold upon that hope. It's there, set before us. The Word of God is talking about doing something like a person might do on a ship when in the middle of a storm he's overwhelmed with the fear that the ship is going to go down, and who makes his way with a great deal of difficulty to the front of the ship where those anchors have been let down and puts his hand on them once again and feels the strength of that anchor and feels again that that anchor is holding and is not going to let go. That's fleeing for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us. We do that when we say with David in Psalm 42, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And why so troubled shouldst thou be? Hope thou in God and him extol, who gives his saving help to me, who's never failed, whose grace is always sufficient, who knows my needs, who's made me what I am with all my weaknesses. Hope thou in him. We do that when we pray. Then we are, as it were, fleeing for refuge to the place where that anchor has been carried by Christ himself and where it is anchored forever in the promises of God. We do that when we go to a passage like Hebrews 6, verse 19, and its context, and read once again of God's amazing grace, of his unchangeable faithfulness, of his love for us, all proved in the work of him who is now beyond the veil in the presence of God, who's entered there, that's verse 20, as our forerunner and high priest, and who is there to do whatever remains to be done for the salvation of our souls, and whose work can never fail, because though he himself has sailed these stormy seas, he is also the Son of God, the maker of the seas and of the winds and of the waves, and the one who causes them to blow in my life, and the one who in making them blow and crash in my life is also the one who makes them serve my eternal good, so that in the end I reach my destination and never, ever go shipwreck. So those of you, beloved, who feel like that storm-tossed ship because of life's troubles and the trials that God sends, when your sins rise up against you, then you have to do what the passage says: flee for refuge, to lay hold upon that hope set before you, because when you lay hold on that hope, you are really laying hold on Christ himself and on God himself by faith in Christ. And that's where your peace and your well-being and your joy are all to be found. And those of us whose seas are at least for the moment, they won't always be that, but which are for the moment sunny and calm, and our journey easy, need to take this verse and put it in our pockets for those times when the storms blow up and the seas rage again, and we're troubled and afraid and discouraged and unhappy and have need of this anchor so beautifully described here in the Word of God, carried by Christ Himself to our eternal destination, and which will in the end, isn't that wonderful? Which will in the end draw our souls there. An end of all storms. An end of all these present troubles and afflictions. An everlasting end to them. And blessed peace in the home that God has prepared for us in heaven. May God grant us that. Amen. Father, Lord God Almighty, our faithful God, we thank Thee for the anchor that has been given us so graciously through the work of our Savior, and which holds our souls in life. And we ask, Father, that the day may come soon, when all these present trials are at an end, and when we have no more need of that anchor, but see face to face Him whom we love and who is all our desire and all our hope. Forgive whatever sins we have committed in speaking of these things and in hearing the Word of God this morning. And go with us as we go our separate ways for a few hours. For Jesus' sake, amen.